Oh, sookie, sookie.
Well, folks, you know by now that the Rooster is at another personal appearance. It was a book signing or...
He's winning me some money at the craps table, Doc.
No, I thought he had a TED Talk.
He can do his TED Talk, but he's promised he has to win me some money at the craps table.
Well, I'm sure if there's anybody good at it, it's got to be the Rooster. DOC, in for cock-a-doodle-doo. And Max, it is good to see you.
Yeah, it's been a minute since we've done a show face-to-face. Yeah. I think it was that fateful NFC Championship game was the last time we saw each other in person.
Yeah. I try to...
To put that day out of your mind?
No, just not be at the same spot too often.
No, I get it.
Keep it moving.
Yeah, you can't. Keep it moving. Yeah. You can't let them get a read on where you're going to be.
No. I don't want to. And I don't want to be predictable.
You can't.
Like BTP. And I was almost sad to hear the news break when he was on overtime.
Yeah?
Because I knew that from that moment on, it was going to be wall to wall, every reset, and I knew it. And he did it. He did a hell of a job.
Listen, man, that was our all-show today on the Kevin Sheehan show.
And heavy metal.
Iron Man.
Was in the vicinity. Oh, yeah. No, it was star-studded. And I'll tell you this. One thing that age gives you, a perspective.
Mm-hmm.
It is clearly the longest, most drawn-out topic of a guy who's under contract.
Yep.
And I'm going, does anybody realize that Terry's not in a position to dictate anything?
It's true. And if you look at it on its face, like, Terry McLaurin is on the physically unable to perform list, and now he's requesting a trade. It's a little weird to be on the pup trying to get a new contract with a new team. Now, I understand that they probably did that as a courtesy to, you know, help work things out, not it be such
That's
a distraction on the side. But
there is no courtesy. We're at war.
Yeah.
There ain't no courtesy.
Sure.
So that's what I'm telling you. I don't know his management.
Buddy Baker.
Never met. But yeah. I'm going to tell you right now, if he's put this is his resume, I'd be really concerned.
Terry's his biggest client. This is his biggest negotiation.
Well, that's
so
Terry's
far.
Fault. Unless he's a family member.
Yeah, I don't believe that he is, but I'm not sure.
But we'll find out. But it'll be this is for younger people to pay attention. Telegraphing punches for a boxer get your head knocked off.
It's true.
He may end up winning, and I may have to apologize for all it. But right now, if I were a wagering man,
mm-hmm.
Commanders.
Yeah, he's going to be in Burgundy Gold this year.
Commanders. Yeah, maybe. Maybe. No, not because he's gone, but because if you own the pup, if you miss four games.
Yeah.
And we don't win all four of those games, you are no longer going to be the Tooth Fairy.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you that right now.
Yeah, not as important.
So you're playing
a
dangerous game.
It's true.
When you had this amount of success.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in the NFC Championship game and you're considered the Boy Scout of the team,
mm-hmm.
What did you think that this wasn't business? And this is a good lesson for all young players. Protect yourself. You only have one body.
Absolutely.
You got one shot at this.
You saw what happened to Ayuk. He got paid and then he got hurt, and thank God he got paid.
But he's good, though.
He's good.
Yeah. Ayuk was all over the place. Your deal, it's almost like your own DNA. It's not a group deal. Debo was him in Frisco.
Yeah.
A year or so ago. And I like Debo a lot. But I guarantee if he could redo all of that, he'd do it in a different way. Bottom line is this, and I've heard BTP say it 7,000 times, that without Terry, what happens if you give Terry $35 million and he comes in and breaks his big toe day one? Are you canceling the season? Because that's what it sounds like. I've heard some hysterics, some just literally ridiculous comments made out of people that are paid as professionals. As if one wide receiver who's not Jerry Rice is not in a game, you have no chance to win. Are you kidding me? You got to be completely insane.
Still got five back there, man.
I like but everybody. You even have to be able to win without him if you want to keep this real.
Sure.
Okay, and I'll say it again until I no longer have electricity. How many teams have been undefeated in the history of the NFL? One. And guess what happened to their quarterback? He got jacked up. And they won it with Earl Morrill.
Yeah, that's a good backup. Point.
This is a game of depth. Only a fool would make you think that you have no chance to win without anybody on a football team. This is not basketball.
Ain't that true?
Yeah, you got to have 11, and you got to have some depth. And the sooner you realize that and recognize it, the longer you'll live, because you won't overstress yourself.
It's true.
I heard more panic. Now, I understand it's WWE style and all that, but the reality of this is that 53-man roster.
Mm-hmm.
Wake up. So you get Terry, and you pay him 33. And the Eagles play, and they gut you. They run right up the middle. What you going to do then? What's the excuse then?
Right.
Build your entire team. Don't focus on, now, JD5, okay, I'll give him an
he gets a pass.
Yeah, I'll give him a pass. Yeah. But nobody else.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else, because you're playing a game that you can't win. Now, and Terry, and people say, and everybody, hey, you got the right, let yourself go, exhaust yourself. It's like this baseball thing. Brother Galdi will join us, Mr. Baseball, bottom of the hour. And it's like, 1 minute, you've got a guy who you think is a potential all-star, and you're looking like an ice cream cone, and the next thing, he's gone. And the next thing, you get leads, you can't keep him. Baseball is what? Middle relief. And what your 7 and 8 people in the batting lineup produce. Teams that win, they're all the way through 9 deep. They're getting production out of people that you think are an easy out. There's no such thing. We got this guy. Yeah, but what do you win? How many games do you win with that particular guy? You know?
Yeah.
Get over yourself. Depth. It's all the way across the board. And so we'll find out from Galdi. What I want to know with the Nats, do we have a creep? I was a Rizzo guy. Okay, now he's gone. Next up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is this going to be a rotational deal, or do we have a keeper?
In terms
of? I'm asking Brother Galdi about who's running our baseball operation.
Ah, that
dude,
is a good question.
This is like an army. How many people in a baseball operation? What, 700? They're everywhere.
It feels like
leagues,
it, man.
Teams over in other countries. Are you serious? If you look at the makeup of a baseball organization.
Vast.
Dude, it's an army.
Yeah.
So you really got to have your stuff together. And now we're picking up. And now you get these toddlers. It's a daycare. We got 2 from the Dodgers, this from that. Okay. Now who's going to develop them? Who makes that? It's a big task. That's why we had Brother Lavera on yesterday. We've been killing it when it comes to baseball. And then the one and only Al Galdi today. And then the super producer. Oh, Anthony Haney, man, you know, he's like a Harlem Globetrotter.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Have you seen him on the court?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
There's been a lot of, oh, man. I'm just remembering something that I might get in trouble for. Well,
no, go ahead.
No. It's all passes. Well, there was a bit of an argument that happened right before.
Was this the weightlifting deal?
No. It was
225. Okay.
No, it was a thing that happened right before I was going on vacation. Believe Anthony and Linnell.
BTP.
Yes, they got into it over who would win. I think it was. I might be butchering the story, but from what I remember, basically, Anthony Haney and Linnell were going at it.
Shooting? Basketball?
Yeah.
About, well, I was there. It was at prep. No, I was there. Yeah. I witnessed it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they were going at it about hoop, and basically it was said that Linnell and Jeff
BTP
could beat Anthony, and then somehow I got thrown into this. So basically it would be me and Anthony versus BTP and Jeff Walker.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and you and Super Producer.
I think we'd crush in a wash.
Crush it, yeah.
But the thing was, I was leaving for vacation, and the day that I said was Saturday, August 2nd. It's August 1st. And I think we've all forgotten.
So you're telling me somebody is going to get... it's a forfeit. Somebody's not going to show.
Essentially. But I also, if I do end up going to training camp tomorrow, then I'll gladly take the forfeit because I'm not usually out there.
Because I will put that on the air. That's, to me, sports worthy.
It's true. It is.
Especially if BTP doesn't post for a challenge.
It would be
that he instigated. Yeah.
See, and that's where I don't know if I'm butchering it or not. It was either Jeff or Linnell that started the argument. That much I know. Because well, they're
brother,
the two biggest instigators.
Walker, I got to be cool. I can't go against my
I know
my
you
name.
Can. I know you can't.
I can't do that.
That's family.
But BTP, that'll be interesting. It is a national story, all kidding aside, when it comes to Terry. I hope everybody understands that, unless I'm mistaken, this is AP's first solo ride. First time he's been general.
Mm-hmm. The head honcho.
Yeah. This is his dream car.
Yeah.
This is his dream home.
Right.
So he's setting right now a precedence about how he does business. Not how Denver. Mm-hmm. That ain't got a damn thing to do with this.
Exactly.
This is my house.
My house.
This is what he's establishing.
Taking your shoes off. You're not walking all over my
carpet.
No,
you're not.
Not walking all over me.
No. You leave him outside.
Yep.
Or whatever. And so I think it's really important that people understand. Now, he threw some money around, veteran money around this offseason.
Mm-hmm.
To a need position side of the ball.
So, listen, some may argue even a little bit too much money.
It's never too much unless they fail.
That's true.
So you got to take a big shot at it.
It's true. You got to. That's why we play the game, Doc.
Well, a big swing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not a little man's game.
Of course not.
See, people got to understand, if I love what he did.
Those boys are so big.
That you have to be.
They're massive.
Do you know have you ever heard of the Philadelphia Eagles?
Not familiar.
Okay. This is Haystack Calhoun.
Mm.
They're not, and they got a very simple formula. They just knock your butt off the ball. They run right down your throat.
You're starting to ring a bell, yeah?
Yeah. And so, with that in mind, see, we had all the ones. Remember the D-line? Everybody's a first pick. What did it do? It was a PR stunt. That's what it did. It generated a lot of publicity.
Sure.
What was his record? Average, at best. See, we're way too far. Number one, it don't matter what round you drafted. As a matter of fact, I played next to a guy who was a free agent, and he should be in the Hall of Fame. It's so much hype. And especially now in your life, there's social media. Everybody's blowing everything up. Everything's got to be repeated. Everything's got to be passed along. Even if it's useless, we got to pass it on. You got to be the first to put it out there. Oh, this guy is this. This guy is that. I heard some wise cracks being made today. We get a member of the DC Defenders.
He just won
championship.
I did see this.
And I'm going, people, well, that can't, you don't know what the hell that's going to do. That guy may end up being our leading receiver. It's possible. It's not impossible.
Kid averaged a ton of yards, too.
It don't matter what he did. It's what he's going to do.
Well, yeah.
It's not what you did. It's what you're going to do.
But the point is the production is there.
Because you know his quarterback wasn't? Production.
It sure wasn't five.
There you go. So, anyway, this is about opportunity. Hall of Fame game. Last night, how much of it did you consume live? How much live?
Oh, Doc, it was on. Listen, it was live on my TV the entire time. Now, okay. How much was I paying attention to that TV? Less than usual. But at the same time, it was still nice to have the colors on the screen, the broadcast, Mike Tirico, Chris Collinsworth, Pam, like the whole, you know, everybody. The stars were out. It was nice. We were getting back in the swing of things. And it reminded me how much I missed and loved Jared Allen, because I like Jared Allen.
Oh, Jared, he was a badass.
Badass.
He was a badass. And
like
that
69.
Was this era, they're starting to go in now, and you either played against them or with them or saw them, and I'm so happy that he got appreciated.
Absolutely.
For how hard
he
played. And Sharp, for me, I was covering games at the time, Westwood won, and to be in Green Bay, to watch him warm up, and then with Favre, he was so good.
Unlike anything.
He's the opposite of his brother. He didn't say a word. He just slit your throat, making play after play. And he's not talking, he didn't, low key.
Yeah.
But he was a bad man. Looking at that, I mean, I was like, Gates? Oh, my God.
Gates has been, he's been the product of a little bit of best tight end of all time debate. But well, my God, he's.
You got to have the system.
It's true.
First of all, it's like he matched up. It's just like Gronk.
Mm-hmm.
You can be a lot, but you got to be at the right place, the right time, right system.
Yep.
You play with Tom. He played with Fouts. Open the door, Canton. Boy, was a beat. I'm telling you, that was really enjoyable. Just for the game, I couldn't tell you. All I know is that Harbaugh and Caveman, I hope they play in a regular season.
Yeah.
You couldn't get two more ferocious head coaches. And both of them would probably go goal line in a game in Canton.
You wouldn't see a single punt if they play. Yeah,
you wouldn't do it. Let's take our first break here. This is the Russell Program, Cock-a-Doodle-Doo, DOC. Back in the air chair. And Max, I tell you what, it's going to be fun. And let's see how many times we cannot mention BTP. We'll be back. 1:20 here in the nation's capital. Cock-a-doodle-doo. He's out of town receiving another award. DOC, DHing. And of course, a million is his last name. Max is his first. Rob in Largo, welcome to 980.
What's going on, baby? How you feeling?
Hey, another day chopping wood, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, man. Hey, that's a pleasure to hear from you, man. I go all the way back to you and Big John when y'all had a radio show together, man. So it's a pleasure, man. It's an honor to talk to you.
It was a vintage period.
Yes, sir. Absolutely, man. That B. Mitch and Clinton Portis argument was classic.
Oh, my God. I could hear, man, it was if it was, yeah. But see, that's why B. Mitch, I respect CP so much because most people wouldn't even attempt it. But both guys are warriors. And, you know, if you put them both on the same team, it'd be hard to see that team losing.
Oh, yeah, it'd be dangerous. Everybody gonna hit you in the mouth.
Absolutely, yeah. Because them dude, and I like my running backs to be that tough. And that's the one thing that both guys, Portis and Mitchell, they have a defensive linebacker mentality. They just happen to be gifted.
100%.
So what's on your mind?
Very gifted. Hey, look, man, you know more football than I do, and you're around more football people than I am. So I got to run something past you, and you let me know if I'm crazy, right?
Okay.
So the Terry McLaurin contract, I don't understand how difficult it is, and just hear me out. Give him $90 million guaranteed, $105 over 4 years, give him an additional $15 this year, which will put him at $30. You give him $30 next year, $30 the following year. And then 15 on the last year when he turned 34, just in time to pay JD. Let's say his final year, his speed slows down. Well, he's number one in contested catches, and it's not even close to number two, right? So if he's in a situation where his speed slows down, then he becomes a possession receiver, and who doesn't want a 34-year-old nuanced possession receiver that's loved and still producing at a high level? He's just a little bit slower, and he's not going. That contract does not reset the market, but it puts him where he belongs in the top 10 as far as being paid is concerned. Am I tripping?
Well, no. You sound good. You sound like you're in the wrong profession. But what I don't do is spend other people's money, and I'm not 100%. Naive enough to think that a negotiation can be worked out publicly. I don't buy that. That's fool's gold. And as I said when he went to the Eastern car commercial, don't bluff. First guy bluffs, loses. If you don't like what you're doing, then get out. Make a way for you to go, oh, you're under contract. So it looks like you're not going to be able to get out. You can take yourself off the field, but you can't bluff it. Somebody, it's a negotiation. What do you want? Somebody to surrender publicly? You don't get any points for what you say in public. You get points for what the deal that you pull off. And yes, there is a winner and a loser. Unfortunately, that's the way it is. But there is a winner and a loser. Yeah. Now, if you can consider losing, making 28, 27, 26 million a year, then you can do that. If you don't think you can win unless you're getting 33 million, that's your prerogative. But this is what it is. And how in the hell can anybody dictate who's going to win this, not knowing all of the intricacies that happen behind closed doors? One side of this is a horrible side at negotiating, and the other will be victor. You can mark my word on that.
For sure. I just
but all the numbers, all that you're talking about, the way this cap expands every year, all that sounds good. It sounds good, but it doesn't mean a damn thing unless you're making plays on the field. And if you're not on the field, how you going to make plays? Last year's over.
You do that consistently. 100%.
Yeah, so
100%.
And what you do again? Okay, and you in the same division with the world champions. You talking like y'all won the world championship. You got your doors blown off against the team that won it all.
For sure.
Yeah, so, you know, pat yourself on the back. Keep patting yourself on the back about last year and watch how it works out.
It may not go well.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I'm telling you, act like you've been there. This is one thing I'll say about it. It's a negotiation. You giving away $50,000 a day? You got to be out your mind. Yeah, same thing with that boy down in Cincinnati. That, man, these people, they do this for a living. This is your shot at it. You're an amateur. So you either hire the best and run it like a professional operation, or take your chances. Take your chances. To me, they're just taking chances. Maybe they win, maybe they don't. But I just don't think you play Russian roulette when you're as good as he is, and it just shows you strictly business. It don't matter. He's the poster boy for what the ultimate commander is and talks and walks and does all that. And guess what? What does that amount to in a negotiation? Nothing. It don't mean nothing. Means nothing unless you're getting paid for it, and that is all a part of the negotiation. Be careful who you associate with, because you will be only as good as those around you. You get the chance to pick your peer group. Don't blame nobody else for that. Appreciate the call, dog. Go ahead on, Rob.
Even as an organization, right, if you preaching, hey, look, this is what we're looking for in a commander, and he's exemplified that to the highest of highest activity.
So what?
There he is.
So what? Then what happened to the 49ers? Were you not paying attention to what they did to Debo and what Trent Williams had to go through? Trent Williams is better than all of them. What'd they do?
You right about that, brother.
Come on, Slim.
They made him wait.
This is y'all too personal. It's business. If you've never been in a negotiation of stuff, then take the fifth. Y'all act like this is Madden. You play too many damn games. This is not a game. You went Easter commercial. Well, I'm disappointed. Nobody gives a damn if you're disappointed. Would your feelings get hurt? What did I say that day? Call Indy. Pack your bags. But, oh, you're under contract. So you're selling wolf tickets. Seriously. Man up. Appreciate you, man. This is not a romantic deal. This is flat-out business. If you can't deal with it, get out the kitchen. Because over there, they're running a business. Yeah, anytime, any play. Yeah, okay, well, how about here right now? And that's what they're telling you. You either here or you're not. Think we can't get another? It may not be as good as Terry. We'll be able to play the game.
We'll find a body.
The game. Yeah, damn well can do that. Brother Galdi joins us right here on Team 980 when we return. Every once in a while, we get lucky. And we're at the right place at the right time. And guess who appears? Al Galdi. I mean, the most sought after consultant in the country. He's gone places very few people have traveled. He's seen things that most could not bear to watch. And then a couple times a year, he becomes radio gold. And this is it, brother. Welcome to the trade deadline and the movement in MLB. What interests you most, if anything, Brother Galdi?
DOC, good to talk to you, my friend. I appreciate that introduction. Some of it even was true, which makes it even more special for me. Here's the thing. So we know that the Nationals have had this very disappointing season.
Mm-hmm.
It was very clear what they were going to do. That was sell and sell hard.
Mm-hmm.
The question was, would they trade Mackenzie Gore? They mm-hmm. did not. Mm-hmm. I think there's justification for not trading him. It was a tricky call. And they did get, I think, a pretty good return on the pieces they sold. Now, they didn't sell any, like, great players, but they sold some guys who are veterans and who could be of help to contending teams. And the Nats actually got back some prospects who can help to beef up the farm system. So, look, there's no way to frame this season other than very disappointing, and there are major big questions moving forward. But specific to what was done in the lead-up to this deadline, I like what was done. Some good prospects were obtained. And I do think that the interim general manager, Mike DiBartolo, is doing a pretty good job here so far. So I do view him as a legitimate candidate to get the job. You know, you want to interview other candidates, of course. But so far, so good for him. I think he's shown well for himself.
So that was the thing I was most concerned about, your assessment of his skill set. I mean, doing business with the Dodgers, the one thing you hope that you do is you rob a gold mine of youth and resources in their system. But how do you predict? I think it's the hardest thing in sports. How do you predict these high schoolers and every once in a while collegiate people translating into being that guy at this level?
It's very hard. And in a lot of ways, you're flying blind. In a lot of ways, these are lottery tickets, and you're just hoping that a few hit. But I think it's not unlike the NFL draft, where the more picks, the better. The more swings, the better. And so okay. With something like what was done in the lead-up to this deadline, the Nats made 5 trades. So you get back this hoard of prospects. You know they're not all going to hit, but even if just a few hit, then it was worth your time because you're going nowhere this season, so you might as well get rid of guys who they ended up getting rid of. And so that's the way to approach it. Now, you know, you don't want to be in this position every year. They've been in this position way too often. This is the 5th straight year the Nats were sellers at the trade deadline. Like, it's amazing that we've gotten to that point. So these prospects need to start converting into real legitimate major league players. And the Nats haven't had enough of that yet. You know, beyond James Wood, C.J. Abrams, and Mackenzie Gore, there's not a ton to feel great about right now. I think it's huge the rest of the season what guys like Brady House and Dylan Cruz end up doing. Josiah Gray may be back in September, but certainly should be back for next season. So hopefully we could still view him as a piece. But
whole season team, out. Ooh, did you expect that?
Well, yeah. I mean, he underwent the Tommy John / internal brace procedure last year.
Okay, so, I thought. Oh, you said September. Okay. Makes
yeah,
sense.
Yeah, so
makes
he, sense. He maybe will make an appearance in September.
Yeah, makes sense.
And then, you know, hopefully he's back for next year. But they need more pieces. Like, they don't have enough pieces. They don't have enough people who are producing at a good enough level right now. And so you just need to accumulate as much talent as possible and just hope that some of these guys start hitting. And, of course, there's the larger thing of you need ownership to start spending. They need to start spending on free agents. They need to start spending on infrastructure. And that's a huge issue with this team moving forward, and we just don't know if that's going to be something that's going to start happening or not.
We don't even know if they want to be in the baseball business, do we?
Yeah, right.
I mean, that's where it all stems from. I'm not mad at those that inherit. I can only imagine how lucky that must feel. But I can understand people not wanting to be a part of that grind. I really can't, especially at the numbers that are being offered now. And if there's no emotional tie to it, wouldn't we be better off if we can get, I don't know, Steve, the owner of the Clippers, I just went completely brain dead.
Ballmer.
Could we call him and see if he's interested? Because I want my guy to be that enthusiastic about ownership. I want him to be actually want to be in the business I'm in. The investment thing, it's a turnoff. And I understand it's business. But can I get somebody in here that legitimately bleeds red and white?
It would be nice. And we've seen with the football team what new ownership can mean. I mean, just to keep it to baseball, the Mets were not in great shape from an ownership standpoint, got new ownership over the last few years, Steve Cohen, and they're a totally different franchise now. Your Dodgers, people forget this. The Dodgers were a mess with the Frank McCourt scenario of a decade plus ago. The Guggenheim Group buys the team, and the Dodgers ever since then have been great again. You know, like the ownership makes all the difference. And, you know, it's a tricky deal with the Lerners. They spent money 2012 through 2019.
They did,
deserve a lot of credit for that. The team, of course, won a World Series. But COVID happened. The Lerner's base business, commercial real estate, you know, went down the tubes.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of questions now about, you know, what kind of cash flow this ownership group has, what kind of a commitment this ownership group has to winning, because, you know, they already won their championship. Ted Lerner, the patriarch, passed away. And I think there are very legitimate questions about, you know, how in truly is this ownership group. And the other thing with this ownership group that I don't think gets talked about enough, it is a group. So it's not necessarily the case that everyone in the group is on the same page. And so you may have some people who want to be more in than other people. And I think that's part of the problem. You know, with the Commanders, yes, there's a group, but there's one man clearly leading this. It's Josh Harris. You know that he's in charge. With most ownership groups, that's what you need. You need that alpha at the top of the pyramid. With the Lerners, you know, you have a managing principal owner in Mark Lerner, but I know they do a lot of things by vote and by, okay, is everyone on board with this? And that can be very tricky, and I think that can be to the detriment of the team at times.
Help me through this. Love James Wood. Love what I see. Because of my age, which means I saw Tony Gwynn regularly. I saw, you know, contact hitters, guys who, with the shift that they came on that these clowns couldn't adjust to, they had to change the rule back to, they would have murdered it. That whole era of guys who just, they hit a BB in the dark. Call strike three, bat on his shoulder. It happens at a level. Now, I think the way the guys behind the plate, the umps, the 6-7 throws them off. I think he gets a raw deal at some of this. Is he swinging enough with two strikes to satisfy you?
He is striking out way too much. That's undeniable. You know, he's in a rut. He has not had a good month of July. He had a good game against Cincinnati a week or so ago, and that's like the only really good game he's had for weeks now. He does take too many called strikes. I think he strikes out too much, period.
I don't mind him swinging. I'm talking about call strike three.
Yeah, no, I don't think you're wrong to say that. I don't think you're wrong to say that. You know, he's very selective at the plate, which allows him to draw walks.
Mm-hmm.
But with that will come some called strike threes. And so there's sort of a balance there of, do you want him to be more aggressive, maybe to sacrifice some walks, but also lessen the strikeouts. I mean, it's a funny deal with strikeouts because they're not viewed today the way they were viewed years ago. It used to be when you struck out, that was like the ultimate humiliation. And now it's more like if you strike out, that's okay, as long as you're doing other things well. And he, for the most part, has done other things well. I mean, he overall has had a terrific.
Oh, no, I'm happy to have it. It's my little pet peeve. You know, haven't seen, I mean, if you grew up, as I did, 60s, 70s, 70s in baseball, you saw contact. People made contact. And they could control where they wanted to go with them. But they had bat control. I don't see that now. I see it, like I said, the shift. They had to change the damn rule.
Yeah, I know.
Because people could not adjust to it. You kidding me? Pete Rose with an open side of a field? Tony Gwynn? Are you, what? But times do change. Now your O's. That kind of caught me off guard, how I thought it was promising, and then all of a sudden I go, what happened?
Yeah, it's been a horrible season. The head of baseball ops for the O's, Mike Elias, in a session with reporters this morning, actually apologized to fans for how bad this season is gone. Now, in fairness, the O's have been hammered by injury. They've had a ton of guys get hurt this year. But there's more to it than that. Elias, for all the good that he has done, he's made some bad moves over the last few years. Some bad trades, some bad free agent signings. The team has not developed starting pitching like it should. And so this season just has been a debacle for them. You know, it's amazing. The two teams of Masson, the Nats and O's, each team has had a highly disappointing year. This has not been a good year for the two teams of the Mid-Atlantic region. And, you know, I don't know who you say who's having the more disappointing year, but they're both really disappointing. There's no doubt about that. I would say this, though, with the O's. So I do like what they did yesterday. They traded a bunch of people. Mm-hmm. They got back a bunch of prospects, have replenished the farm system, but still have a good core of players. I think the O's can be back to winning next year. I don't think this is like the start necessarily of them being a bad team again. I don't think the O's need to engage in another rebuild. I think in a lot of ways this could be a one-off bad season, and they could be back to winning next season. The team still has a lot of talent. Just honestly needs to just enjoy better injury luck. They've had really bad injury luck going back 2 years now. So I would say that with the O's. But look, they're not having a good year at all. It's been really rough. They fired their manager, you know, just like the Nats ended up doing so. And you know, Elias, he rebuilt this thing, but he's got to be better with his off-season moves. He's made a lot of off-season moves in recent years that just have not panned out, and they need to start hitting on some of these acquisitions they make in these off seasons, because there's a core group of guys who are good, but you need to complement those guys with other pieces, and the O's so far have not been able to do that as well as they need to.
Well, Al Galdi, I mean, the Galdi, the podcast, you are, any new projects upcoming, book signings, Netflix deal, you got anything on the horizon you can break here today?
Not yet. I'm working with your friends Dan and Tanya on some projects, but we haven't arrived at any agreements yet. But as soon as we do, you will be the first person to know. I hope you know that.
Well, I would assume. I think I've earned that over the years. Yeah. I would very much look forward to that. Yeah. And, of course, the family. All good?
They are doing well. They are doing well. I appreciate you asking.
No, that's beautiful. I can't wait till we get into the athletic side of that, and I just want to know who will be tutoring and coaching them. I can't wait. I cannot absolutely wait. My brother, man, number love for you, man, and I appreciate you sharing this with us. And Max, you intimidated him. I just knew he'd have something for you. He declined. That's the way your presence is, man.
Hey.
I've never seen Max not have something to say to everybody. And I said, I'm pointing to him. He's like, no. He's shaking his head. Like you were Dracula.
I'll cop to it. I had to get a few business things taken care of before first pitch of the Orioles-Cubs game at 2:20.
Okay. Next time, you and Galdi.
Of course.
Good deal. Thanks, brother.
All right. Thank you.
You got it. Al Galdi, as Coach Thompson would say, simply one of the best. All right. We can light it up here at 301-230-0980. Lot going on. You know what time it is. Holler at you guys. I know that Max has got some things he's going to get off his chest. Let's give him the opportunity to do that. In for cock-a-doodle-doo, DOC with you. 152 here in the nation's capital. Cock-a-doodle-doo. Chris Russell Show. Russell is at an awards ceremony and picking up another, I don't know, plaque. Plate.
One of the many in his honor. Well,
yeah, golden microphone award or whatever, but it won't be long. Him and the two giants, the two New Yorkers who share these microphones every day at this time. I can't wait for the opener, brother. I'm letting you know right now. I will volunteer to come on and be with those dudes after that on that Monday following Game one. You know what the Hall of Fame game showed me? At least it's officially, we're into it now.
Finally back.
Yeah, even though it was whatever it was, exhibition, at least we're into it. All right, 301-230-0980 is our number. Damascus, here we go. Christopher, what up?
Hey, how you doing there, brother?
Fantastic.
I know you wouldn't be looking forward to that New York game if LT was still playing over there.
Well, that'd be different. That'd be work. And I would be looking forward to it because there'd be a check that would be attached to it. Yeah.
I know. I'm excited for you, and I know you're anticipating that, but I appreciate your baseball talk. I was going to ask you a couple questions. What do we make of the interim or temporary or GM that's in place now? What do we know about him?
We got endorsed by Galdi, and that to me is at the highest level.
He did.
Yeah, he did.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, he did. Galdi was very pleased. Look, you can't be around. Lorenzo knew exactly what he was doing. Deal maker. I ain't mad at him at all. No one is. He's not a clone. He's going to have his own way of doing things. Interim. This program has to work no matter what the circumstances are with the ownership. And so you got to navigate around some things.
That's a problem because, you know, there's a family faction there, like two brothers-in-law and two sisters and Mark, and they're not Ted. And so that's going to be a thing to be seen. Traded Mackenzie Gore. I just don't know if the GM is capable. I wouldn't have been opposed to a trade at this point in time, like the Soto trade, because obviously the young pups haven't produced this year. Ruiz, CJ can hit but can't throw the ball from here to there, and James Woods in a slump, and Dylan Cruz has been hurt, and so it just hasn't come to be, and so they haven't proven it. They're not going to make it this year, but this build, and it sounds like they traded for some arms. That's cool.
Yeah, well, they need arm. Hypothetically, if the bullpen a month ago, if we could have reversed those fortunes, I think it could have been different. They didn't suck. They weren't at the bottom. They just couldn't get a break. They couldn't get anybody out. And if you can't get people out in this game, then you got a problem. You know, that's why I say the bullpen.
That's an issue.
Murdered them.
Yeah. That's an issue. Well, yeah. I'm still going to follow them every day, and
but we appreciate it. You know what?
And support that, and then we better take care of the Giants. You got a lot of aliens over there that are against us.
Well, yeah, I got a couple guys. They work on the same show.
You'll handle it, Doc.
I will. Appreciate the call.
Good work.
Thank you. 301-230-0980, New Jersey. Mitchell, what up?
Doc.
What's up?
I know my phone is an issue.
Yeah, it is.
How you doing, Doc? I hope everything's
there you
well.
Go. That's better. That's better.
I was waiting for Max to pick up, but he's a busy guy. We all got to be busy. We're not busy. We're not working.
Yeah, well, Max works.
That's right.
He's working on the side while he's working here. So he's got doing two things at once.
I'm glad he does two things at once well. Me, it's another story, but that's not what I call for. I like what the Nats did. The farm system is a little weak. I'm glad I didn't give up Gore, by the way. I'm glad I didn't give him up. Sirocco was pretty good, but they need another bat, especially behind James Wood. And I'm glad that Dylan Cruz, I can't wait. And I can't hold my breath any longer for him to come back, by the way. Ruiz, decent catcher, but you need somebody behind Wood. And I thought Josh Naylor would have been perfect. He could play left field. He could play first base.
Mm-hmm.
Lowe's had a good year, but he's not the future. He's a little past 30. I'm way past 30, and it's a good start. Maybe we will get fourth place. It's not saying much ahead of Atlanta. But a couple months ago, I thought we were going to make a run for the wild card, but we became sellers and sat on our hands too long, too late.
Well, one thing about it is going to be interesting, and I'm glad that it's over, and I want to see how we finish. And
house too.
Let's get somebody to show us some promise, because I don't like being stuck in this position. Galdi made a great point. This is like 5 years now. It's like been one setback. We're trending in the wrong direction, and you have to change that. Appreciate the phone call. Like being out in New Jersey. Little football last night. What was that like? That was kind of, it was refreshing. It was weird, but it was refreshing to see it. What did you notice about the game? What did anything strike you? I'm going to see what. How detailed are you? There was something clearly different. Who was it? What was it? Chargers blue trousers.
Oh, yeah. The white jersey and blue pants.
Yeah.
Looks good. I was a big fan.
Yeah.
I like the powder blue. It looks good.
Well, less Charger blue. I mean, they just... I mean, growing up out there, when it was San Diego, and you talk about, I think the Oakland area got just massacred.
Oh, yeah.
Ripped off. You have your team pulled away from you. Chargers in San Diego. Shit, it was a match made in heaven.
Synonymous, yeah.
It's 70 degrees almost year-round. It's just as close to perfection as you can get.
Yeah.
And but when you have rotten ownership, which we know how it can turn an organization and it's against its fans and vice versa. That should have been a beautiful situation there. Worst luck. You know, it's hard to win. The Lightning Bolts got close. They've had some fouts. I'm way too before your time, but when Winslow, it's amazing. Gates just goes into the Hall of Fame, and Winslow was there before. I mean, they were just loaded. The Joe Gibbs was offensive line coach with the Chargers. I mean, that San Diego group was magnificent. And that lightning bolt and that powder blue and the whole nine yards. I think they're fighting for their life, for identity in L.A. Harbaugh will change that. They are going to be pretty good. They'll be pretty good. I got to get my eyes on the Giants, though. I start stalking our first opponent every year. It's the only preseason people that I care about is watching the Giants. Because they may not play a lot of people. So it's very difficult to try to keep up with your opponent when your opponent's not playing people. Trust me on that. We'll take a quick break. We come back. Let's open it up. We will not hog the mic. 301-230-0980 is the number. What's the young man's name? Terry? Isn't there a guy that played receiver here? Is Terry, Terry, guy named Terry. Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. We'll figure it out when we get back.
All right, we will.